Good evening. Welcome to Cafe Church.
Ooh.
Hello. Great to have a happy family here this evening and families. We are talking about the vital signs of a healthy church out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Sean did a brilliant talk last week on koinonia, building healthy relationships together. And we're going to look at being a Christ-centered community this evening. And we've got a good bunch of questions lined up for discussion around the tables shortly. So I'm going to keep my talk fairly crisp and short this evening. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and read verse 18. Colossians is a good book to refer to when we're talking about being a Christ-centered people. It talks about the supremacy of Christ, sovereignty of Christ, that everything comes from him, everything belongs to him. He created everything. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, etc. But I want to look at verse 18. And maybe stating the obvious, but if the church is to be the real thing, then Jesus needs to be the main thing. Because without Jesus, there's actually no genuine church. It's a sad fact that actually in our day that there are church organizations that to a large extent are operating without a strong, direct reference to who we would see as Jesus is. And when Jesus goes to the periphery of church life, we just degenerate into a social club or a religious organization. So the koinonia aspect of last week that Sean was talking about, which he highlighted, that our fellowship first is with Jesus and the Father. It's vertical with the Father and with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And only out of that flows our fellowship with one another. And that's what gives it meaning, purpose. And a lot of the scriptures that we looked at last week about loving one another, accepting one another, encouraging one another, admonishing one another, challenging one another, forgiving one another, were all as Christ has done for us. Yeah. So if you take Christ out of it, you're taking the meat out of the sandwich and there's just about nothing left. He is to be the central theme. So we're going to just kick off with a few things about what connects Jesus with the church. And first of all, he's the head of the church. Verse 18 of Colossians chapter 1. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, that's Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. In other words, that Jesus might be supreme in our midst. That he may be supreme in our fellowship. He may be supreme in our worship. He may be supreme in our conversation. He may be supreme in our relationships together because he is the head of the church. Yeah. And I guess it's fairly obvious, but it needs to be said that if a body doesn't have a head, it generally isn't living. And Jesus is the life, and he's the head. And also, if a body doesn't have a head, there's not much, not only is it dead, but the head is the sort of central system for all that controls everything that happens in the body. Yeah. And so, if Jesus is not, if we're not taking our cue from Jesus, the body is brain dead. If we put it that way. We're not going to go, there's no life, there's no instruction. There's no heavenly instruction, certainly. And so that's the thing of him being the head. Second thing I want to say is that he owns the church. Acts 20 in verse 28 says that Jesus has purchased the church for himself by the shedding of his own blood. That means he owns it, or he owns her. He's the owner of the church. Just turn with me to Matthew 16, please. Matthew chapter 16. And we'll read three verses from verse 16. Really, the most important thing about any church and about any Christian is how they see Jesus. Everything rises or falls on how we see Jesus. And so Jesus said to his disciples, when various people of the day saw Jesus as a religious leader or just a prophet, and it's bang up to date today. Other religions, they do recognize Jesus, but they see him just as a prophet or as a good teacher. It happened in Jesus' time too. And so in this passage, various people are saying, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, which means Messiah, anointed one. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You've had a revelation and it's been given to you from heaven by God. And I also say to you that you are Peter. So he's kind of giving him a revelation of who he is now. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So there's a number of statements here about Jesus and the church. The first one I want to highlight is this, that Jesus said, I will build my church. So the church belongs to him. He's the owner of the church, okay? And then secondly, he's the builder of the church. What a relief that is. What a relief that he's building this church, despite us sometimes. With living stones that are sometimes very different. He's building us. And as we just recognize him and as we keep humble and we just keep centered around him, he will build the church. He's shown that through history that he is building his church in the face of persecution, in the face of opposition, when human beings have messed it up. Jesus has still been building his church. Isn't that good news? That's good news, friends. Because the church is church. So the church is not a religious organization that man is building. The church is an eternal organism or being that Jesus is building. So he's the head of this body and he's the builder of this spiritual building. And therefore, friends, the church, like Jesus, is eternal. No, not quite like Jesus. In the church, but the church... the church will last forever. Okay? I'll come back to that like Jesus just now. But the church is immortal. The church will go on forever. It's not a finite organism or body or, you know. And therefore it's an incredible thing, the church. The church is the most powerful body of change on planet Earth, because Jesus is the head of that, of the church. Jesus owns it and he's building it. Okay. And so what else do we know about Jesus and the church? He's the foundation of the church. Paul said that there's no other foundation on which we can build but Jesus Christ. So he's the head, he's the owner, he's the builder, and he's the foundation. And so maybe we could just throw out a few things. When Jesus is those things in a local church, that brings order because he's the head. Yeah. You know, that also means that there's no other headquarters. And there's no other head in quarters. There's no other, that means that the elders are not the head of the church, even the local church. They are the highest authority in the local church, But as soon as they, if they step out of line with the head, they're in trouble. And that's why the church has to hold the leaders accountable, that they stay in line with Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Yeah? So that helps us keep things in biblical order. The fact that he's the foundation should bring a security to our lives. Because he's the rock that does not move. When there's pressure, when there's trouble on the horizon, either individually, we can go to some of our buddies in the church and say, please pray for me. Stand with me. Walk this journey through with me in Jesus' name and with Jesus inside us. He's the rock. He's the foundation. Yeah, brings the security to us. So those are just some thoughts there, which you can kind of unpack a bit more in the questions. In the Message Bible, this Matthew 16 passage, Eugene Peterson says that the church Jesus is building is so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. That's a wonderful translation of, or paraphrase of that. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, the church is not on the back foot that Jesus is building. The church is not declining that Jesus is building. The church is not receding. It's not shy. It's not kind of intimidated. The church is the church that he's building is advancing. And that's important for us to remember, friends, as a local body. Even when you plant a church with 10 people, you've got to plant knowing this is true. When you plant in a humanistic, godless, self-sufficient, paganistic, whatever terms we'd like to use, idolatrous culture, and there was many cultures like that in Corinth and Ephesus. That was the cultures that they planted churches in. You know, it's no different from Edinburgh or Sydney or New York today. Good for us to remember that. And we've got to go into those cultures knowing that actually the gospel that Jesus has given us is mighty to save. You know, it transforms lives. We're going to struggle if we don't believe that. And Jesus said this is the truth that sets people free, and the church will grow and increase. And so we need to see that the church is bigger than, for example, the church in the UK. It's bigger than the church in Europe. It's bigger than the church in America. And this church is growing worldwide. So whilst we may have some signs in, you know, in the UK, which might sometimes discourage us, we need to see the church globally is increasing and growing. However, here's a good encouraging statistic for you, that about 2 or 3 years ago, for the first time in decades, when they measured just church attendance, this was not necessarily people who were born again, church attendance, for the first time in decades, church attendance in Greater London was on the increase. About 2 or 3 years ago. So that's an encouraging sign. For decades, it was on the decline. So there are signs that the tide is turning in our nation and in the UK. So that's encouraging. But Jesus has said, whatever the signs may be, the reality is that his church will flatten the gates of hell. And so we need to have a good theology that as time goes on, the church is not going to decrease. It's going to grow and increase. There may and probably will be persecution. But the church has always grown the most rapidly in and under persecution. So there we go. A couple of final little thoughts here. At 3CI, we want Jesus, therefore, to be central in our welcoming, in our worship, in our conversation, in our words, in our preaching, in our witness. and in our works, what we do. So let me just give you a couple of quick thoughts on some of those W's. How do we keep Jesus central in our worship? There's an amazing scripture in Philippians 2, a well-known scripture, Philippians 2 verses 9 to 11, where Paul says that because of Jesus's incarnation and his humility, the fact that he became a man, and because of his death and resurrection and what he did for us, an amazing statement. God the Father, who is the ultimate authority, has raised the name of Jesus to the highest place. Now, notice, this is where I'm going to come back to Jesus. Notice it's the name of Jesus. Do you remember what we said when we talked about Jesus, the Logos? Jesus wasn't the eternal Son's name in heaven from eternity to eternity. From eternity to eternity, there has been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the name of Jesus was the name given to the eternal Son when he became an incarnate man. And God has raised that name. God the Father has raised that name, the name of Jesus, that which he was named when he was born. God became man, flesh, and dwelt among us. He's raised that name to the highest place, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Christ the Lord. I just wanted to sort of emphasize that tonight, because that should show us why it's so important for us in our worship to raise up the name of Jesus. Because it's the name of Jesus that's going to draw people. It's the name of Jesus that needs to be honored. And if you look through the book of Acts, the thing that really got up the nose of the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day was this name of Jesus. They said, you're filling our community with this name. And you know what, friends, to some extent, when we start putting the name out, when the names, people will start saying the same thing. And it's a good thing when people do, because we need to get the name out. There is no other name, not Coca-Cola, not, give me a name, you know, popular name of our culture. You know, yeah, Facebook. Yeah, there's no other name. Microsoft, whatever it might be. There's no other name that needs to be declared more than this name. Because it's, why? Because it's the only name that brings salvation, life. Yeah. There's no other name. So in our worship, I encourage the guys to sing Christocentric songs. Songs that are gospel-centered. Songs that talk about what Jesus has accomplished, his accomplishments through his death and resurrection. Because that's what the God the Father has lifted up. Because he came, because he died, because he rose again, his name has been raised to the highest place. And we need to do the same. And we need to declare the gospel in our worship, in our singing. You know, because as we do that, as we lift up that name, and as we come ready to lift up that name, because we're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's why he's been given to us. That's the primary purpose. Jesus said, he will glorify me. He's not going to glorify himself. He will glorify me. And so the purpose of the life-giving Spirit in us is to glorify Jesus. Wonderful to hear that in the prayer meeting this morning. There's just a real wonderful sense of that. As Boosie and Lorna led us, that was just coming through to me so loud and clear. Jesus, Jesus, the name being glorified, going out into the community. Friends, that we just got to press in for more of that, and God will break into our lives. He'll break through our lives. And in our worship, we just keep Jesus central. So we're not just singing songs about him or singing songs that kind of descriptive how we feel about him. But we're singing songs of his greatness, his glory, the wonder of who he is. And when we do that, he comes and he inhabits the house. So that's something of our worship. There's a scripture, Colossians 3:16. it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let me just mention quickly about our work, a couple of scriptures quickly on our how do we make our works or our deeds Christ-centered. Just go to Colossians again with me, Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. It says, whatever you do, so that's pretty wide sphere there. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Whatever work you do, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ. How do we keep Jesus central in our work or in what we do? I think one of the key things for me is that we do things well. And so we seek to do things well, that we do them excellently, with excellence, yeah? That one of the buzzwords in business in the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years has been this thing of doing things with excellence, you know, like having different centers of excellence in a business. And if there's a body that needs to have a center of excellence, it's the church. Because actually his excellency should be at the center, and his name is Jesus. And everything that we do, whether it's the coffee we make, the way we vacuum the carpet, and Mike and Kat are doing this brilliantly with the loos. They come in here once a week and they sprinkle them and clean them and flush them, and you know, it's kind of Domestos deluxe. And thank you for that little touch there, Lord. Domestos deluxe. Yeah. But so yeah, they're doing an outstanding thing, just keeping those things shining. And all of that is a demonstration of kind of doing things well. Serving, projector, sound, you name it, welcoming, improving ourselves. How can we do things better that kind of keeps what we call the cringe factor down, so that people are focusing on the excellence of Jesus? Yeah, keeping things focused on him, so that they're not looking at stuff on the carpet, but they're, you know, we can engage them and talk to them about who he is and welcome them well. All right. Let me just say this. Each one of us is gifted, and each one of us has a part to play, and it's fantastic to see different people getting involved in the life of the church in different areas, and putting their gifts into those areas that God's given them. When we do that, the full wattage, if I can put it that way, of the light of Christ he wants to shine through the church, that starts to be turned on. And because Jesus says that the house of God is to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And when each person's playing their part, and each one's using their gifts, and each one is serving in some wonderful way, then the wattage is turned up as we work together. And Christ's light is seen when people come in to the church, and also Christ's light is seen when we go out into the community.